यस जस्ट वन मिनट. सूत उवाच एवं चिन्तयतो जिष्णो कृष्णपादसरोरुहं सौहार्देनातिगाधेन शान्तासीर् विमलमति. सो द वेरी ब्यूटिफुल वर्ड विमलमति. विमल मीन्स विदाउट विमलामति, विदाउट एनी टिंज ऑफ मटीरियल कंटेमिनेशन. मति मीन्स माइंड. सो सूत गोस्वामी सेड, thus being deeply absorbed in thinking of the instructions of the Lord, which were imparted in the great intimacy of friendship and in thinking of his lotus feet, Arjuna's mind became pacified and free from all material contamination. Purport, would anyone like to read the purport? Sangeeta, would you like to read the purport?
Sure. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Since the Lord is absolute, deep meditation upon him is as good as yogic dhyan. The Lord is not different from his name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage, and specific action. Arjuna began to think of the Lord's instructions to him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Only those instructions began to eliminate the tinges of material contamination in the mind of Arjuna. The Lord is like the sun. The sun's appearance means immediate dissipation of darkness or ignorance. And the Lord's appearance within the mind of the devotee can at once drive away the miserable material effects. Lord Chaitanya has therefore recommended constant chanting of the name of the Lord for protection from all contamination of the material world. The feeling of separation from the Lord is undoubtedly painful to the devotee, but because it is in connection with the Lord, it has a specific transcendental effect which pacifies the heart. Feelings of separation are also sources of transcendental bliss, and they are never comparable to contaminated material feelings of separation.
Thank you. So here, there are two main points here that when we are in, you know, when we are in like some kind of, our mind is reeling, we are not able to understand what to do. You know, sometimes we are in such situations where we are deeply anxious, or we are deeply hurt, or we are deeply affected by something. Then the constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord will protect us. It will protect us even from our own selves. It will protect us from our own, you know, terrible reactions that we can give to things, you know, the demons that we have inside. And if we want to really protect ourselves from that, then we must chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every single day, a fixed number of rounds, right? And also here, like in the movies, they show that there are feelings of separation between the hero and heroine. Like most of the movies are what? The hero and heroine meet each other, then there is some kind of a plot that causes them to be separate. Then because their interest is to be together, then they work very hard towards, you know, getting rid of that particular plot or problem in life so that they can be back together again. So there will always be some one or two songs in which there is some separation they are feeling, and they are thinking about the pain in the heart. So Prabhupada is clarifying here that the feelings of separation that a devotee feels to the Lord cannot be compared to the contaminated material feelings of separation. Because those material feelings of separation are like, oh, you know, now I'm missing this person because some of these needs of mine are, you know, not being met. It's about relationships are based on sense gratification in the world. But in the spiritual sense, a devotee's feelings of separation are, of course, out of attraction for the Lord, and being with the Lord constantly, and also of service to the Lord. So that is the difference. And for this chapter, we will try to read as many purports as possible, because a lot of details have been given by Srila Prabhupada which we don't want to miss. Of course, all purports are very deep, but because we have to do this conference call and we have to move forward, we are not able to read everything, and we hope that you all are able to read at home. Text 29.
Vasudevanjanudhyana paribrahmitaramhasa भक्त्या निर्मातिता शेषा कषाय अधीशनोर्जुन.
सो अर्जुनास कॉन्स्टेंट रिमेम्बरेंस ऑफ द लोटस फीट ऑफ लॉर्ड श्री कृष्ण रैपिडली इंक्रीज्ड हिज डिवोशन, एंड एज अ रिजल्ट ऑल द ट्रैश इन हिज थॉट्स सबसाइडेड. purport. Would anyone like to read the purport?
Yes, Mataji, I can read.
Yes, please go ahead.
Material desires in the mind are the trash of material contamination. By such contamination, the living being is faced with so many compatible and incompatible things that discourage the very existence of spiritual identity. Birth after birth, the conditioned soul is entranced with so many pleasing and displeasing elements which are formed, false and temporary. They accumulate due to our reactions to material desires. But when we get in touch with the transcendental Lord in his variegated energy, the devotional service, the naked forms of all material desires become manifest and the intelligence of the living being is pacified in its true color. As soon as Arjuna turns his attention towards the instructions of the Lord, as they are inculcated in the Bhagavad Gita, his true color of eternal association with the Lord became manifest, and thus he felt free from all material contamination.
So Prabhupada is using a very strong word here, which is trash in his thoughts, for the translation, right? So we, as Prabhupada is telling, when you are engaged in devotional service, you know, like suppose a room in India, suppose a room has not been cleaned for a very long time. It has been closed for a very long time. And when you open the room, there is a lot of dust in that room, but you're not able to feel it, that dust. Unless you start agitating that dust, means suppose you start cleaning, then there will be dust everywhere. Right, and then you will sneeze and everything, then you think, oh, this room is so dirty. But at one time when you open the room, it looks clean. Similarly, before we come to bhakti, we think everything is okay. But once we engage in the process of devotional service, that is like, coming to the process of devotional service is like opening of the room. Engaging in the process of devotional service is like the process of cleaning the room. So when you clean the room, there is so much dust that you see. So similarly, when we engage in the process of devotional service, sometimes or many times the naked forms of all material desires become manifest. Like, you know, our own base qualities are sometimes revealed to us and we are shocked and we feel, oh no, did I have such desires? Did I have such gross things? And then the more you discover those things, the more you take to the process of bhakti, because by engaging in the process of bhakti, all these different types of desires which are not conducive for bhakti subside. And as Prabhupada said, the intelligence of the living being is pacified in its true color. Means, the intelligence of the living being is pacified in its true color means, as Prabhupada says in the last line, his true color of eternal association with the Lord becomes manifest. So the intelligence is then used in devotional service to the Lord. So here Arjuna, he is feeling so much separation, so much pain, that he is taking, remembering the instructions of the Lord and chanting the holy name of the Lord. Now when we think about constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, what does it mean for us? Does it mean that you remember the feet of Krishna? Of course. So that's why when we take darshan in the temple, we begin from the feet, not go to the face. And I have to remind this to myself every time, because my tendency is to directly look in the face and then I realize, oh no, I made a mistake again. So of course we pay attention and we meditate on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and offer some prayers when we are taking darshan. But for us, it also means following the instructions of our spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada. So whatever instructions we have received from Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada is taking us to the lotus feet of Krishna, if we follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, that is constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And also chanting Lord Krishna's holy name. And when we are able to do that, all this envy from our heart and even self-envy from our heart will go away. And we will be freed from all material contamination so that we can express ourselves more fully in the devotional service of the Lord. Text 30. Gitam Bhagavata Jnanam Yattat Sangram Murdhani Kalakarmotamo Ruddham Punar Adhyagamat Prabhu. Because of the Lord's pastimes and activities and because of his absence, it appeared that Arjuna forgot the instructions left by the personality of Godhead. But factually, this was not the case. And then again, he became the lord of his senses. Now, one may think that the lord was there, now the lord is not there. Arjuna was lamenting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And then Arjuna is lamenting again when the lord has gone away. So that means he is not situated in knowledge. It is not like that. His lamentation on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was so that the lord can speak Bhagavad Gita. And also right now what he is feeling is not some material feelings of separation and bewilderment because some material feelings are there because he lost some friend. That's not the point. The point is he is feeling very transcendental spiritual feelings of separation. And when you see Arjuna like that, you may think he forgot everything, all the instructions. He is not following Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita means you don't get affected. No. What Arjuna is feeling is a spiritual platform. And just by remembering the instructions of the Lord, he again became situated properly and became the lord of his senses. We will read the last paragraph of this purport. Arjuna had no desire to fight with his relatives, but he fought for the mission of the Lord. He was always engaged in the execution of his mission only, and therefore, after the Lord's departure, he remained in the same transcendental position, even though it appeared that he forgot all the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita. One should therefore adjust the activities of life in pace with the mission of the Lord, and by doing so, doing this one is sure to return back home, back to Godhead. This is the highest perfection of life. So, adjusting the activities of life in pace with the mission of the Lord means what? What is the mission of the Lord? Why does the Lord descend? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma sansthapanathaya sambhavani yuge yuge. Paritranaya sadhunam, to pacify and to, you know, relieve the sadhus. Vinashaya chaduskritam, to annihilate the miscreants, like the demons, and like also people, Kamsa and Ravana and all these, right? Dharma samstharpanathaya, to re-establish the principles of religion. Sambhavami yuge yuge, I descend millennium after millennium. That is what the Lord is telling in Bhagavad Gita, and we all know this shloka. So right now, what is the mission of the Lord? The mission of the Lord is to reclaim all the lost souls back home, back to his abode. Because we are all misdirected right now. We are all trying to find happiness in a place where there is no happiness. It is like, you know, when you had sugarcane juice, not from in the cup, but when you are really trying to extract it from the cane itself, you know, using your teeth. Then you bite into it and you keep sucking till there is juice. Right? And then you move to the next one and then move to the next one. But the then we get more and more enjoyment, we get more and more juice. But the entire enjoyment of the material world, the scriptures compare to chewing the chewed. When you chew something that has already been chewed, there is no rasa, there is no juice left in that. But the way we are trying to enjoy the material world is like chewing the chewed. And if we really want a life full of happiness, and the Lord sees us struggling like that and suffering so much, you know, in this very false place. So the Lord wants us to come back to Him because He promises a life full of bliss, happiness, joy, love to all of us without any cessation or any stoppage by birth, death, old age and disease. So the Lord's mission is to reclaim everyone. So our life should also be such so that we engage in this preaching mission of the Lord, right? And the preaching mission of the Lord is very nicely carried out by the different sampradayas. And over here, we are very fortunate to get the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, who is carrying out the mission of the Lord, right? So now in the mission of the Lord, there will be some cooks required. There will be some people who will be cleaning. There will be some people who will be pot washing. There will be people who will make flyers, who will design flyers. There will be people who will go out and preach. There will be people who will go out and distribute books. There will be people who will welcome people to the temple. There will be people who will take, you know, give right message of Lord Krishna to the temple. There will be people who will dress the deities. So whatever service we do in the temple or outside of the temple, keeping in line Srila Prabhupada's instructions, is activities of life in pace with the mission of the Lord. So Prabhupada has given us this great setup. And we don't have to think, okay, now what do I do? Prabhupada has given us the entire system, the entire society, so that we can adjust the activities of life in pace with the mission of the Lord. And the more we do that, the more we ourselves will be situated in peace and happiness and lesser anxieties. So if you are finding yourself to be in a lot of anxiety about your job, or, you know, Microsoft is laying off people, or anything, the more we need to engage in the service of the Lord. And that is the highest perfection. Text 31. Vishoko Brahma Sampatya Sanchinna Dvaita Samshaya Lina Prakriti Nairgunya Alingatvara Sambhava. So translation, because of his possessing spiritual assets, the doubts of duality were completely cut off. Thus he was freed from the three modes of material nature and placed in transcendence. There was no longer any chance of his becoming entangled in birth and death, for he was freed from the material form. So because he had these spiritual assets, he knew how to take shelter of the Lord. He knew how to chant his holy names. He knew how to remember the instructions, follow the instructions. He was not in any kind of duality that comes with the material world. So we will read what Prabhupada has explained very nicely in this little bit long purport. Who would like to read the purport for us? Yeah, go ahead.
Doubts of duality begin from the misconception of the material body, which is accepted as the self by less intelligent persons. The most foolish part of our ignorance is our identifying this material body with the self. Everything in relation with the body is ignorantly accepted as our own. Doubt due to misconceptions of myself and mine. In other words, my God, my relatives, my property, my wife, my children, my wealth, my country, my community, and hundreds and thousands of similar illusory contemplations, which cause bewilderment for the conditioned soul. By assimilating the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, one is sure to be relieved from such bewilderment, because real knowledge is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Lord Krishna is everything, including oneself. Everything is manifestation of his potency as Sinnasa. Since he and the potent are non-different, so the conception of duality is at once mitigated by attainment of perfect knowledge. As soon as Arjuna took up the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, expert as he was, he could at once eradicate the material conception of Lord Krishna, eternal spring. He could realize that the Lord was still present before him by his instructions, by his form, by his pastimes, by his qualities, and everything else related to him. He could realize that Lord Krishna and his friend was still present before him by his transcendental presence in different non-dual energies, and there was no question of attainment of the association of the Lord by another change of body under the influence of time and space. By attainment of absolute knowledge, one can be in association with the Lord constantly, even in this present life, simply by hearing, chanting, thinking of, and worshipping the Supreme Lord. One can see Him, one can feel His presence, even in this present life, simply by understanding the Advaita Jnana Lord, or the Absolute Lord, through the process of devotional service, which begins with hearing about Him. Lord Chaitanya says that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can at once wash off the dust on the mirror of pure consciousness. And as soon as the dust is removed, one is at once free from all material conditions. To become free from material conditions means to liberate the soul. As soon as one is therefore situated in absolute knowledge, this material conception of life is removed, or he emerges from a false conception of life. Thus, the function of the pure soul is revived in spiritual realization. This practical realization of living being is made possible due to his becoming free from the reaction of the three modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. By the grace of Lord, a pure devotee is at once raised to the place of the absolute, and there is no chance of the devotees becoming materially entangled again in conditioned life. One is not able to feel the presence of the Lord in all circumstances until one is endowed with the required transcendental vision made possible by devotional service prescribed in the revealed scripture. Arjuna had attained this state long before on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and when he apparently felt the absence of the Lord, he at once took shelter of the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, and thus again he was placed in his original position, This is the position of Vishoka, or the stage of being freed from all grief and anxiety.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Another powerful purport by Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada is again and again repeating that we want to become free from these material conditions and these bodily identifications. We are so caught up in these things that it is hard to conceive of any of an identity beyond the identity we think we have. So we may think, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm so and so at work, I'm so and so's daughter, so and so's sister, so and so's this. So based on all of these relationships, I should be treated in this way. Based on the social status I have, I should get these things in my life. Based on the amount of money I have, I should have these things to enjoy. Based on this kind of the way people perceive me, you know, this is the image I want to project. And we are so caught up in that thing and so caught up in serving all the people connected to the identity. Again, not in a Krishna conscious way, but very hard to conceive for us that we have an identity beyond that. That I am spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. I am not all of these identities. Once we realize who we are, then we are able to serve all the people connected to our bodily identity also very nicely in a Krishna conscious way. So Prabhupada is telling that because of all this material contamination, there is anxiety and there is grief in our lives. And the only way to come out of that is by hearing knowledge about Krishna and our own nature. And the second thing is by chanting the holy name of the Lord and by doing devotional service. Now, I have encountered a few people. Some of them will say, oh, why do I need a guru? It is between me and Krishna. I don't need a step in the middle. Right? Or they will say, nowadays there is this new thing on Facebook and WhatsApp that everyone is sharing with each other. That for one who is so limitless, why should I limit him by chanting a prescribed number of rounds? Right? So people say all these things. But what they don't realize is, you know, some people will say, no, I don't need to chant a fixed number of names of the Lord every day because I am chanting throughout the day. Now if you make them count how many times they are chanting throughout the day, it will definitely be less than the prescribed number of rounds. Right? The idea is good that we should keep chanting the whole day. But having a prescribed number of rounds helps us chant the names of the Lord in a disciplined fashion and at least set a minimum. Okay, minimum at least so many rounds I am chanting, and then after that if I chant throughout the day, it is good only. Right? Or they will say, I don't need a guru. But if you don't have a guru, if you don't have fixed number of rounds, how will you get proper spiritual knowledge? And if you don't have these things in place, you don't have guru, you don't have spiritual knowledge, you don't have fixed number of rounds, you don't have bhakti, devotional service, then how will you be able to handle the grief and anxiety that this material life is going to throw at you? There is so much grief, there is so much anxiety, there is so much fear. What is our kavacha to deal with all of these things? And our kavacha is these particular things that Prabhupada has mentioned. So something to think about. Text 32. Nishamya Bhagavan Margam Samstham Yadukulasya cha Swapathaya Matim Chakre Nibhrittatma Yudhishthira. Upon hearing of Lord Sri Krishna's returning to his abode and upon understanding the end of the Yadu dynasty's earthly manifestation, Maharaj Yudhishthir decided to go back to Godhead. So Maharaj Yudhishthir's, you know, he saw his purpose as assisting the Lord in his mission. So now, and he himself had done his duties also. Maharaj Yudhishthir and Arjuna and all, when they fought the battlefield of Kurukshetra, so they were 100 years old. But here Maharaj Yudhishthir decided that now even the Lord's mission, Lord is departing. And also, I personally have done the establishment of dharmic principles as a king. We won the battle under the direction of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord. Became the king, I ruled according to the proper religious things, and now my grandson is there to rule the kingdom, and he has been trained properly. Not someone is there to continue the family lineage. See, nowadays people are, you know, they use all these examples to continue their own family lineage so that the wealth remains in the family. I just came to know that one 42-year-old lady, she has two girls. This is in India. And then I heard she is pregnant. And then I asked my mother why. My mother said, because she wants a boy. So I said, why does she want a boy? So that the wealth of the joint family that they will get remains with them, because otherwise they will not give it to them if they have only daughters. So people think that, you know, I have to continue the family lineage, I have to have the wealth in my hand and all these things. And they try to compare themselves to the Pandavas. They think, oh, Pandavas also fought for their birthrights. And now here Maharaj Yudhishthira is also leaving because he knows his own grandson will continue. No, that is not the reason why Maharaj Yudhishthira and all, they fought the battle or they are leaving right now. They did it because it was their duty to re-establish the principles of Dharma, to serve in the mission of the Lord. And Maharaj Yudhishthira had trained Parikshit Maharaj very nicely, who was his grandson. He had trained him very nicely in how to rule the kingdom according to the Lord's will. So Maharaj Yudhishthira thought that Dharma is in good hands, so it is now my time to contemplate on my relationship with the Lord and go back home, back to Godhead. So this is what is being spoken over here. And then Prabhupada is also explaining about when the son, like, you know, people think, oh, when Lord Krishna left, then everything about Lord Krishna ended. No. Lord Krishna's appearance and disappearance is like the rising and the setting of the sun. The sun is setting in one place, it is rising somewhere else. Like that. So Lord's pastimes are going on in all the different universes continuously. Text 33.
Prithapanushrutyadhananjayoditam nasham yadunam bhagavadgatim chatam ekanta bhaktya bhagavatya dhokshaje niveshitatmo pararam samasrite.
Kunti, after hearing Arjuna's telling of the end of the Yadu dynasty and disappearance of Lord Krishna, engaged in the devotional service of the Transcendental Personality of Godhead with full attention and thus gained release from the course of material existence. So, now one may say, oh, the Yadu dynasty ended and Lord Krishna departed and disappeared and all. So, no, it's not like that. The Yadu dynasty was an entourage that came with Lord Krishna to help him in his pastimes here. And when the Lord left, he left back with his entourage. So, the entire entourage went back with him to help him in another place. Like that, to serve him in another place. And Prabhupada writes in the middle of the purport, as Maharaj Yudhishthira decided to prepare to go back to Godhead, so also Kunti decided. And thus she fully engaged herself in the transcendental devotional service of the Lord, which guarantees one a passport for going back to Godhead after quitting this present material body. The beginning of devotional service to the Lord is the beginning of spiritualizing the present body, and thus an unalloyed devotee of the Lord loses all material contact in the present body. The abode of the Lord is not a myth as is thought by the unbelievers or ignorant people, but one cannot reach there by any material means like a Sputnik or space capsule. Now one may think, oh, I can go to another planet in a Sputnik or space capsule. Prabhupada is telling that is not possible. You have to have a spiritual qualification. But one can certainly reach there after leaving this present body, and one must prepare himself to go back to Godhead by practicing devotional service. That guarantees a passport for going back to Godhead, and Kunti adopted it. So now here, something very important for all of us to consider is that we are feeling very inspired. Wow, Kunti heard like this, then she engaged in devotional service and she gained relief with full attention and she gained relief from the course of material existence. And we think, yeah, when our time comes, we will also do like that. No, it is not possible. You have to cultivate that spirit throughout your life, so that when the time comes, you are able to give up everything. And that giving up does not happen in an instant. You are gradually leaving things as you grow in devotional service. So, and you are gradually cultivating your attention and attachment to the Lord. It does not happen in a moment. So are we prepared to live like Kunti? No. Tomorrow if I tell any one of you, somebody tells me, oh, now it is time for you to release course from the material existence. If you meditate properly and engage properly in devotional service, you will get it. Will I be able to do with an undeviated mind? Will I be able to give up my attachments? Will I be able to give up my, you know, propensities for sense enjoyment? No. So these things have to be gradually cultivated so that we can be prepared like Kunti Devi when the time is right. Text 34.
भारम ताम तनुम विजहावजा कंटकम कंटकेनेव द्वायम चापीशितु समम. the supreme unborn Lord Krishna caused the members of the Yadu dynasty to relinquish their bodies, and thus he relieved the burden of the world. This action was like picking out a thorn with a thorn, though both are the same to the controller. Right? So there was the Yadu dynasty, they killed each other. But the pastime was caused by the Lord, because he wanted them to go back with him. So Prabhupada explains very nicely with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's this thing. If anyone would like to read the purport to text 34.
I can read this.
Yes, please go ahead.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur suggests that the rishis like Shonaka and others who were hearing Sri Bhagavatam from Sita Goswami as Naini Sharanya were not happy to hear about the Yadus dying in the madness of intoxication. To give them relief from this mental agony, Sita Goswami assured them that the Lord caused the members of the Yadu dynasty to relinquish their bodies by which they had to take away the burden of the world. The Lord and his eternal associates appeared on earth to help the administrative demigods in eradicating the burden of the world. He therefore called for some of the confidential demigods to appear in the Yadu family and serve him in his great mission. After the mission was fulfilled, the demigods, by the will of the Lord, relinquished their corporeal bodies by fighting amongst themselves in the madness of intoxication. The demigods are accustomed to drinking the soma rasa beverage, and therefore the drinking of wine and intoxication are not unknown to them. Sometimes they were put into trouble for indulging in intoxication. Once the sons of Kuvera fell in the wrath of Narada for being intoxicated, but afterwards they regained their original forms by the grace of the Lord Sri Krishna. We shall find the story in the 10th canto, for the Supreme Lord, both the Asuras and the demigods are equal. If the demigods are obedient to the Lord, whereas the Asuras are not. Therefore, the example of taking out a thorn by another thorn is quite difficult. One thorn which causes stinking on the leg of the Lord is certainly disturbing to the Lord, and the other thorn which takes out the disturbing element certainly gives service to the Lord. So although every living being is a part and parcel of the Lord, still one who is a secret to the Lord is called an Asura, and one who is a voluntary servitor of the Lord is called a Deva or Devaika. In the material world, the Devas and Asuras are always contained, and the Devas always saved from the hands of the Asuras by the Lord. Both of them are under the control of the Lord. The world is full of two kinds of living beings. The Lord's mission is always to protect the Devas and destroy the Asuras whenever there is such a need in the world, and to do good to both of them.
Thank you. Thank you so much for reading. And we will end our reading here. Is there any discussion, any points anyone would like to share, or any realizations or any points you've heard somewhere, something that can, that is touching your heart? Please feel free to share.
The only thing this week I was preparing for this chapter 5 of Bhagavad Gita, and I kept on reading this one text where I felt as if Krishna himself is talking. I almost read 5 times the same sentence, and kind of I felt like, as if Krishna is telling this with so much love, and I don't know if I'm making that up, but it was kind of ringing in my mind all the time. I just wanted to share that today. Like, he clearly said, and it was in relation to this, what we were reading today, is this steadily devoted soul attains unadulterated peace because he offers the result of all activities to me. Whereas a person who is not in union with the divine, who is greedy for the fruits of his labor, is entangled. And I felt, this was a very touching statement. I felt what Krishna wants from his devotee, a selfless love, giving everything. I mean, a devotee doesn't care, whatever he gets through. He offers all the food back to Krishna, because he understands that everything belongs to him. So
Thank you so much for sharing that. Very wonderful. And if you can send that particular purport or that translation that you read, and you can, you know, after this call, if you can email it to all of us so that we can also read it and understand how you were feeling when you read that, it will be very, very wonderful. Yeah, but thank you so much for sharing that. It's a very powerful statement. Thank you. Yes, who else would like to share? Yes,
Samantha.
No, go ahead.
Not just saying, also, I was kind of battling with this question. And the beauty of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam is sometimes we have curiosity, we have questions, and then we don't self-introspect. We start looking around everything around us. But if we really read the scripture, most of the answers are within, you know. So lessons learned from me is kind of being more self-introspective, although I spend most of my time doing other things. But what I read was so powerful, that we have a super soul who's listening to the desire of the soul, right? We always say super soul fulfills the desire of the soul. But another thing to keep in mind, it fulfills the desire of the soul, what the soul deserves, not just what you keep desiring. And sometimes you desire five things, but you only get two because that's what the soul deserves. But another thing, how the super soul fulfills that desire, is he controls this most of material nature. So I was having some desire, and it got fulfilled. And I was kind of, oh, mercy of Krishna, mercy of Krishna. But then when I read the scripture, I was realizing how Krishna controls this material mode. So even though we feel we are having some challenges in the material nature, and Krishna is not even directly talking to those people or whatever, but the situation sometimes comes in favor of you because the mode of material nature gets controlled by the Supreme Personality. And that's how your desires get fulfilled. But you have to keep in mind that you should. It was a good enlightenment when I read this.
I was like,
wow, no, this is how things work,
Prakriti works. Wow, you have like very nice, wonderful realizations. Thank you for enlightening all of us and enlivening all of us also. Very wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
I would appreciate if others could also share, like Hetal Mataji and like Sangeeta Mataji. You know, they always share nicely. It will be nice because then we all benefit from each other's realizations. Would anyone else like to share anything? Hari Bol, as Gayatri, you were on the call for the first time. How was your experience?
It was very nice, Mataji. It was very nice. Even I felt like in the last verse that God always protects, like, was saying, like, Devatas will be protected from Asuras. Like, when we, you are relating, like, we need not always come back or get down in the levels of other people, then they hurt or something like that. It was very nice. It was so correlating and there's so much to learn. It was very nice.
Thank you. Please keep joining. Thank you very much. I had one announcement to make.